This is a Podco original.
Hey, everybody. We love that you're loving the show. And if you want more show, then you should follow us at
Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Ooh. Now, should we just go racing into a Sloppy Joe?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Do a Sloppy Joe race. Oh, I love Dean.
Oh, he loves you too.
There was a couple of people that I thought I was on a date with, but then
like, I feel like it's that thing where you're like, I think they feel the same, but I'm not sure. So let me find out for sure by saying like, hey, point blank, I have a crush on you. There's a
Brian
great shot
Mandy
of her when she first started. I think it's like a paparazzi photo or something where when she first was trying to learn how to drive or like was new to driving, she's like filling up her gas tank and she didn't like click it off or she took it out too early and there's like gas like going everywhere. It's like, Selena, what are you doing? My question for you.
Oh,
is,
here it comes, Jen Stone.
Here comes the question. So if you could use Max's mind reading stick, who would you use it on?
My first thought was,
we're on a podcast.
We're on a podcast. Welcome to Wizards of Waverly Pod.
I like that.
Hey,
that was good. Pinch
Jinx,
Tokyo,
you owe me a Coke.
Okay, so this episode, we're going over season 2, episode 4, Racing. That was my best Deluise. Racing. Except I can't do the bass. I don't have the bass. I don't know why I'm grabbing at my non-existent.
Bring it down here.
Bring it down.
Okay, so
I feel
I'm
like
gonna say something
Hulk
really
Hogan
stupid.
When I do that.
You're a nurse, so you know these things. You're a smart person. Women don't have an Adam's apple, correct?
It's just not as developed, but yeah.
Oh, they do?
Well, we technically have a penis, too. It just never fully forms.
What the fuck? I'm learning everything. It's all new.
It just never, like, develops.
And that's why sometimes humans have a penis and a vagina.
Sometimes.
Welcome to Wizards of Waverly Pod.
We are racing from this subject.
Listen. You started. Well, I said Adam's apple. You went right to penis.
But it's the same thing where it's like you will start with the same pieces of the puzzle and sometimes the puzzle pieces just change shape a little bit.
Right. Oh my God.
And your uterus. Okay. So
how did we get
to
there?
The episode.
Okay, I'm exhausted.
So it aired originally on October 12th, 2008, written by Justine Bateman and directed by Victoria Gonzalez.
Yeah. Oh my God,
Justine. This was the one episode that she wrote.
I love her so much. And I apologize, Justine, that I didn't.
What'd you do?
No, that I didn't remember that she wrote this episode.
Well, but it was like it was random. It was like this one episode, all she ever wrote,
well,
as far as I'm aware.
I think sometimes part of the Writers Guild is you have to farm out one to someone who's not on the staff.
Well, I think, and for those of you guys who don't know, Justine Bateman played, she's Jason Bateman's sister, who's
Family Ties.
She was Mallory Keaton on Family Ties, but she also has directed, she's produced, she's written even more so, like after the fact. She's
and I ran into
pretty
her
epic.
In the Whole Foods parking lot. Yeah. And we talked. She's so cool. I think
she's
so
really
awesome.
Rad.
She was so helpful getting information out during the strike.
Yeah.
And I'm just her number one fan. I love her so much.
She's the coolest. Yeah. The coolest. So in this episode, Alex's crush Dean is a gearhead, and Alex uses restoring Jerry's junky old car that Teresa is trying to get him to get rid of for an upcoming race as a chance to get closer to Dean and reveal that she has a crush on him. Meanwhile, Max orders a mind reading kit. So at the beginning of the episode, Alex walks past Dean and his posse of four that are always like his Danny Zuko, Grease Lightning kind of guys, to try to get him to notice her, but it doesn't work. Dean has no idea that Alex likes him. Harper says she should act cool around him like she does around Justin, and then of course promptly freaks out around
now,
Justin.
May I say something? Because
please.
I think the episode prior to this, she says something very positive and nice to Dean.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty clear. Like they're flirty in that episode.
Yeah.
So I understand that episode's a standalone or, you know, it's like, but we do have a history. We have the same guy coming in. And it just was interesting that she's trying to get his attention.
But how many times have like you flirted with somebody and they flirt back and like you think like, okay, they might like me, but I don't know for sure.
Never.
This week's episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is brought to you by Storyworth. My mom is a strong Southern lady with a sweet Southern accent, and I always love hearing her tell stories about the long line of strong Southern women that I come from. From hilarious to heartfelt, sometimes tear-jerking, plot-twisting, her retelling of stories about my great-grandmommy, my great-aunt, or other resilient women in my family always inspires me and brings me a lot of joy. So just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you all cherish for years with Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/wizards. That's storyworth.com/wizards to save $10 off on your first purchase.
Hey, everybody. This episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a health and wellness company that ships high-quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door. The Care Of app helps you track how you're feeling and plays back insights about your results over time so you can adjust your routine as needed. Care Of makes taking my vitamins on the go so convenient and easy with its individual daily packs. It's perfect for my busy schedule. I just throw a few in my backpack and I'm ready to go. For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code WIZARDS50. For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code WIZARDS50. See you soon.
Never? Come on. I don't believe that for a second.
We've talked about this. Yeah. There was a couple of people that I thought I was on a date with, but then
I feel like it's that thing where you're like, I think they feel the same, but I'm not sure. So let me find out for sure by saying like, hey, point blank, I have a crush on you.
Yes. We've even talked about this before where I've been on a date with someone and they didn't know. So it's not clear sometimes.
Well, sometimes, because it's a vulnerable thing, you want to be absolutely sure that they feel the same way, not just think maybe.
Right, but it's also really hard, especially at that age,
yes,
to say, I like you. Do you like me?
Well, and that's why we have 22 minutes of her trying to finagle her way to be alone with him.
Right.
Harper says, you got to be cool like me with Justin. Justin comes up. Harper freaks out, of course.
Right.
So then Alex decides, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go talk to Dean. She goes over while he and his friends are talking about working on a car for a race, tries to insert herself in the conversation and just fails miserably.
Right. Which is actually really funny. I like that part, you know?
Yeah. And this is also the first time that Harper, because I know like Harper's home life is a little wonky. This is like the first time she has a line. What is it?
Yeah. My parents.
Alone time is golden time.
Yeah. Alone time is golden time. But then also you said something like, my parents vacation separately.
Yeah, no, that's why I said, that's what my mom always says to my dad before they go on their separate vacations.
Separate vacations, yeah. Right.
But it was like the first time I think in season two where we started to get into Harper's like darker underbelly of a backstory. So Alex invites Dean to the Waverly substation, but is interrupted by the fire alarm and junior fire marshal Harper tries to help. And then also again, freaks out and runs away.
But also into the fourth dimension.
Into the fourth wall.
Yeah. And really excited. Like I think now in the second season, mm-hmm. Harper's character is we're getting a little more quirky with it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's a lot more energy. I think in between the first season and the second season, the writers, were aware that we can bring Harper's kind of kookiness up.
But
right?
I think that's true of everybody in the show was that we all started to find our strengths and weaknesses as actors and as performers. And I think we found more of a sweet spot with not only Alex and Justin, but also Harper and Jerry. And we started to find their humor and their sort of like callbacks of like what was touchstones for their characters.
Right.
So, and one of Harper's was running off screaming into the fourth wall. So meanwhile, Max in our B story has ordered more junk from the back of Wizards Weekly.
Which I love. Yeah. I love that idea. And they really utilized it throughout the thing where it's like the ruler that transports you.
Yeah, transport.
Only like 5 feet and whoever's around
passes out.
And everyone did the pass out really well.
They did that like thing. You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the Sky Mall magazine? That used to be on airplanes.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I think they went bankrupt or something, but they used to have the weirdest, like, I just remember those weird, like zombie lawn ornaments that you could order.
Yeah.
They had the weirdest shit in that.
Very odd stuff and stuff that you didn't really need, but you wanted.
Which is,
you
know that's I mean? Why it reminded me of this right, is because it's all the stuff that Max wants, but definitely doesn't need like a cup on a rope or whatever that he has in like a later episode. So he's got the invisibility poncho, which doesn't turn the wearer invisible. The poncho itself is just invisible.
Which is so funny because when he put on the poncho,
yeah,
I thought it was going to be just his torso.
Oh, that makes invisible, sense.
And then his head was out.
Yeah.
You know?
Nope.
But it was just the whole poncho
instead. Just poncho's invisible, which is the best like gag because how do you even know you're getting a poncho? I guess it feels like something.
Right.
I don't know.
This week's episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is brought to you by Storyworth. My mom is a strong Southern lady with a sweet Southern accent, and I always love hearing her tell stories about the long line of strong Southern women that I come from. From hilarious to heartfelt, sometimes tear-jerking, plot-twisting, her retelling of stories about my great-grandmommy, my great-aunt, or other resilient women in my family always inspires me and brings me a lot of joy. So just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails her loved ones a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Questions like, who had the most positive influence on you as a child? Or what was one of the hardest things about growing up and how did you get through it? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you never heard before. After the year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself if you want to. My family loves to get together and reflect at Christmas time, and I can't wait to look back through our Storyworth book and revisit all of our family's lore, laughs, and wisdom throughout the years. It's such a great bonding moment to come together and share that. Families love Storyworth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you all cherish for years with Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/wizards. That's storyworth.com/wizards to save $10 off on your first purchase.
Hey, everybody. This episode of Wizards of Waverly Pod is sponsored by Care Of. Care Of is a health and wellness company that ships high-quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door. The Care Of app helps you track how you're feeling and plays back insights about your results over time so you can adjust your routine as needed. Care Of makes taking my vitamins on the go so convenient and easy with its individual daily packs. It's perfect for my busy schedule. I just throw a few in my backpack and I'm ready to go. Now, some of Care Of's best-selling vitamins are available in bottles if you're not ready for a monthly subscription. Now, I've noticed that I've had a lot more energy since I've been taking my Care Of vitamins. I'm feeling good. For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code WIZARDS50. For 50% off your first Care Of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code WIZARDS50. See you soon.
Then the 3D glasses, which were literally just 3Ds.
Right.
On glasses.
Which in the fourth season, they changed the opener to where it would just show a little vignette of different bits. And that, David wearing those 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Was in there.
Yeah. Which I thought they were kind of perfect because David Dominic DeLuise,
3D. Oh, look at that.
3D glasses. And then the transportation ruler, which we talked about, you would transport 5 feet and then make the person next to you pass out.
Right.
So then we're back in the, and the last but not least, he realizes they're all ripoffs, but he gets the mind reading kit, which is like this little.
It's like a toilet paper.
With like macaroni on it.
And that's what we used to do as kids. I don't know if you did when you were younger, but you would glue macaroni on a thing and make a house or do a thing.
So, or like talk to each other in the ear of the thing.
We would call those, me and my brothers, and I don't know if other people did, we would call it the dirter because you would take it and go.
I didn't call it that, but we did that for sure. Right. Yeah. So then back in the substation. So remember, Alex has invited Dean back to the substation.
Right.
Harper shows up in what I think is one of the first like episode specific themed outfits.
Yes.
which I still have this outfit, but it's just the 60s-esque with these like white go-go boots, Hot Wheels on her, and then the steering wheel hat, which she honks.
Right.
Which was one of the first times we had done jokes about the outfits before, but it was the first time it had really become a part of the story. And then we really just led with that.
Yeah.
And it became Harper's kind of signature. Which Alex is like, oh, you're wearing this because of my date with Dean. And she's like, no, it's for driver's ed.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex said some mean things every once in a while to Harper that she just sloughed off.
Yeah. But I guess but Harper had come from a rough background. She was used to it. So Teresa is getting on to Jerry about this old lemon of a car.
Right. Which he loves and is in the laundry room, but it's really
Basement garage
where they had the is this where we bunk our heads?
Yeah, on the pipe. I love the pipe. We'll get to it. But no. But that I love that beat. It was such a good bookend. But yeah, so I was trying to figure out what that was because we either have the most money of any Subway shop owner ever because that was the biggest basement of all time for an apartment building. What? Like, I was very confused as to how the Russos were able to afford
wasn't the stock room. You know
what I mean? Yeah. And our refrigerator wasn't refrigerated. There was lots of magical things happening that just suspended disbelief with the Russos. So she's trying to convince him to donate the car to charity, but Jerry won't because he's in love with it.
Right.
Alex sees Dean come in and she panics. She makes Dean a salad by just sticking the fork in the head of romaine.
Which, just like my mama makes.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah. And which is like really funny.
Hot red pimento sauce.
And then there's another thing. Do you want me to put bread on cheese on bread? And he's like, just like my mama makes.
You're like, what is your mama making? Jesus, Dean. And wants to talk to him alone. Justin suggests that they find common ground. Harper takes this advice for her own romance with Justin and goes, oh, I have this action figure. You should come check it out, see if it's worth anything. And of course, he's like, the first edition, Captain Jim Bob Sherwood, which is a character that comes back multiple times.
Is that the first time that we talked about?
Because
our wrapped gift, maybe for season two was a hoodie. Gray hoodie that said, Captain Jim Bob Sherwood on it.
Yeah. No, that was one that came back multiple times, like Tears of Blood. That was that was a recall multiple times. So, Harper baits Justin into going into a dinner date so he can look at this Captain Jim Bob Sherwood action figure.
Wait a minute. Do we see you later doing date? No, just doesn't happen.
No, we never see them go on a date. It's always just we talk about it. I'm sure Justin found a way to get out of it.
To do the joke, he had to buy into his advice, which was look at the common ground, which was the Captain Jim Bob, the action figure, which he loved.
Yeah.
And then, but it was hard because he could never give in to being on a date with Harper because then they'd be dating.
That's true. Well, especially with Justin's track record, where if he goes on one date or gets any validation from women, all of a sudden they're in a relationship. Or at least in the earlier seasons. So at this point, Alex goes over to Dean. She's going to do it her way at first, which isn't working. But you know what I noticed? Dean is wearing a shirt. He used to wear those like mechanic shirts.
Yeah.
Shirts. It says Doug, which you remember he talked about his first job ever was on iCarly. That was his character's name on iCarly.
Oh, how interesting.
I don't know if that was an accident or if that was intentional. That had to have been an accident.
I think it's an accident, but also really funny that his name was not Dean.
Yeah, it never was. He always had random names that were never.
Well, other outfits. I'm going to call Shannon and ask her.
You watch all of Dean's stuff. He always has like some, like if he's wearing one of those mechanic shirts, it's always a different name.
Okay, well, then that's funny.
I think there were that were nods too, because Dean Moriarty is from On the Road, Jack Kerouac. I think there was some nods to like different like pseudonyms or things that Jack Kerouac used for On the Road that they would put on the shirt.
Well, that's also very Peter Marietta.
It's very Peter Marietta. Yeah. So Alex realizes her approach isn't working with Dean. So she takes Justin's advice and finds common ground with providing Jerry's car for Dean to work on for the race. And then Dean announces that he's going to work on the car at home, alone, after Alex suggests he should come in by himself. So he's announced to all his buddies, I'm doing it by myself.
Right.
Right? So he and Alex can have some alone time.
Which was very odd for Dean, who, by the way, likes Jerry Russo.
What was your like dream car, by the way? My first car that I ever owned. Yeah.
Was a 69 Plymouth metallic green Roadrunner. It was a good car. You pressed the horn, it went meep meep. And it was made half year hard top and half year convertible.
Yeah.
And I love that car. Bought it for $7,500.
Okay.
And I paid half of that. My dad said, I'll match you.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I worked at Mrs. Salem's yogurt shop in the Pacific Palisades.
You mean the Gurt Barn?
The Gurt Barn. Exactly. I mean, yeah. I worked 2 years at a yogurt store, you know?
And I'm sure you appreciated it a lot more because you earned it, right?
Yes, of course. Yes. And I used to be able to peel out. I love that car. I put in a sweet stereo system.
I'm so sad you got rid of it.
I don't know why I did. It's such a cool car. But I did later in life say
it wasn't like the best family car.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I did have a family. I had a kid when I was 21.
Crazy. But two things on that car. It was my favorite, and I saw later in life, saw a convertible one, and I put a little sticker on it. This was a while ago. I'm going to go with maybe 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And I left my number on the car, and I said, if you ever want to sell this, and the guy called me and said it was $30,000, and I was like, I don't have $30,000, but I love that car.
It's a great
and
car.
My name was on the title. Someone on Twitter tweeted me and said, I have your car. That car was shipped to Europe, painted black.
Yeah, you told me
and
this.
Yeah, and they were like, this is your car. And I was like, oh my God, I miss her. Aww. Oh yeah, we showed everybody the car. Yeah, we showed a picture. Okay, what is your dream car?
Mine's a 67, I think they have it in either like a 350 or a 500 GT Shelby Mustang.
Oh my God.
Either purple or red with white racing stripes.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love a Mustang Shelby.
You like
the
muscle car.
I do. I do love a muscle car. I do love a muscle car. I got to learn how to drive stick shift though. I know how to only drive automatic, which I hate.
So Yulia, my wife, says, why is it like when we're renting a car, she said that it was cheaper for a stick shift. And I was like, yeah, of course,
because
nobody wants to drive that. And she, in Europe, I think they have more stick or automatic. It's not the big of a deal.
They do.
You know?
Yeah. They have more like manual. I wonder, because I was looking at like renting a car. I'm trying to go to like Ireland, Scotland, and Iceland later this year.
That's awesome.
And thank you. And I was looking at renting a car, but I was like, first of all, I don't know how to read kilometers. Second of all, it's on the opposite side of the road. Third of all, I would have to do probably a manual because automatics are like
100%
not really
do a manual. And it's,
I don't know how though.
Kilometers and miles, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, but I can figure out.
But what's a big deal is the other side of the road.
Is it really?
There was an island I went to, A something, whatever. I'm sorry, I apologize. I can't remember. Antigua, I don't know where it was. But I had to drive on the other side of the road. I was terrified. It was tricky.
Yeah.
You know?
When the cars are so close together.
Yeah.
Too.
You got to be careful with that. But, you know. Sounds like a great trip.
No, I'm excited about it. But I feel like because I've learned how to do kind of like the gear shifts with a motorcycle, that can't be that far away, right? I don't know. No, I gotta figure it out.
I'm sure you're capable of doing it. It just takes practice. Sure. That's all.
All right. Anyway, so back to Max's storyline with his
catalog of crap. Toilet paper thing.
Max's mind reading kit arrives, and Justin says it's a toilet tube with glitter and macaroni on it.
Right.
When Max gets as close to Justin as possible, he can hear Justin's thoughts. So we realize it actually does work.
Wait, what was he thinking again? He was thinking like,
I think something about like how stupid it was or something. I can't remember exactly what Justin was thinking.
It was something very random.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, Justin was always thinking about either how dumb something was or science.
Yes, science, exactly.
So then back with Alex and Dean. Dean is looking at the car. Alex tries to ask him what she thinks of him, but chickens out and asks him how he feels about her in flip-flops for the summer. Then Alex finally gets up the nerve, and then Dean switches it and goes that he's been having this feeling. And then all of a sudden, every Russo comes into the basement slash...
And I come in first.
Yes, yeah.
And I think... Do I come in and hang up something on the treadmill?
Well, you smack your head on
my head on the thing.
The pipe.
I'm just trying to, I wish, was the pipe there? And was it written that there was a pipe that we all hit? Or did that come up?
No, I think it was written. I remember it being written because I remember reading it and thinking what a good bookend it was that both you and Teresa hit it. But then Justin and Zeke don't. They're like, oh, watch out for that pipe. Like, it was a gag for every single character. Okay. So I remember it being written that way and thinking that was so funny.
Right. I love a good physical joke.
Yeah. But and then you come down, you're like, oh, I'm here to work out. And then you literally put like a towel on a treadmill.
I'm here to use the treadmill.
Yeah.
And I get on it. And then I just, as most people do with their exercise machines, I just put like a shirt on there to hold it, you know, to dry or something.
So you come up to use the treadmill. Justin and Zeke come down and they didn't make the tennis team, so they're going to try for the cross country team. Max comes out to find out where the super bouncy ball went that he shoved into his mind reading kit. And then Teresa comes down, smacks around the pipes, and she's bringing down laundry. Finally, Dean gets the car working. Everyone gets in the car except for Alex, leaving Alex alone because she said she wanted to be by herself. So they all go on this great ride. And then you come back and have one of like my favorite lines from the episode. You come down the stairs and you're so excited about how Dean and you were working on the car together and then he likes you. And Alex is like, well, did he say anything about me? And you're like, nope. And then leave. It's so good.
Dean likes me.
Yeah, just like that. Just like that. So Alex tests the mind reading thing because she realizes the easiest way to do this, instead of confessing her feelings, is to see what Max's mind reader to read his mind. And so she finds out through reading Justin's mind that he actually didn't make the cross country team, but he was just going to like wear down his shoes and make it seem like he had and like spray himself with water or something. But he didn't make it because he like threw up and got nervous.
But I really do love the fact that Selena is this close to David and it's just right
again,
there.
Succumb.
But yeah, he just has to be in thought and not know that there's, you know, his sister right behind him.
And Justin tries to stop her using the mind reading stick on Dean, but then she uses the transport stick to make him pass out.
Which is so funny.
It's a good gag.
I think it was, it also helps with the sound.
Yeah.
So David was like, don't.
No, because transport. Because it was the one too, right? Talking about physical comedy.
Exactly.
So at the race, Alex says she'll talk to Dean alone at the pit stop. That doesn't work out. It's too noisy. So she uses the transport stick to get in the car with Dean. But of course, she knocks out the entire pit crew, knocks out Dean, who's driving the car, which is super safe. So Alex takes over driving the car.
Yeah, but what doesn't make sense there
is
that Dean is in the driver's spot and Alex is in the passenger seat. And when she does transport, she transports and so does he into the passenger seat.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Well, I guess, though, if she's transporting where he is, he can't be in the same place because otherwise they'd overlap.
Wow, you're doing a good
job. I'm trying to make it work. So she uses the macaroni toilet paper tube to realize that he's thinking about getting Joey a girlfriend. And she's like, oh, my God, this guy. Right.
He's kind of in love with Joey, his buddy.
Well, I mean, aren't you in love with your buddies?
I do love my buddies.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So don't be so judgy of Dean.
Okay, sorry.
So Alex is banging up the car while racing it, which totally excites Teresa because she's like, oh no, we can't take this home anymore.
Right, right.
And then finally, Alex gets the nerve when Dean wakes up to reveal that she likes him a lot. Dean says he likes her too. And then that's why he said he wanted to work on the car alone so that, you know, he didn't want to be rude.
And your family kept interrupting.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be rude because, you know, his uncle raised him with manners.
Right. And this is two sets up. I say they have the largest Sloppy Joe sandwich in history, right? And I think one of Dean's buddies says the same thing.
Yes.
And apparently Disney wanted, you know, like a sight gag or like very Nickelodeon getting slimed kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they wanted, you know, Selena or Alex and Dean to go into the Sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
But Peter was able to just get it so that the car went into it.
Yeah, and it
not
was just
them.
Like when, because we'd already done that. I mean, we'd already done with like the dirt barn and the chocolate. We'd already done like the food fight thing.
Right, right.
So them driving into the giant Sloppy Joe, which is very Disney Channel, very Nickelodeon.
And I remember that this is when I realized, I'm not sure exactly how old Selena is there, but she never really drove, right?
No, I don't think she learned how to drive until later.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I guess you're driven around or.
Yeah. You know, There's a Brian great shot Mandy of her were, when she first started. I think it's like a paparazzi photo or something where when she first was trying to learn how to drive or like was new to driving. She's like filling up her gas tank and she didn't like click it off or she took it out too early and there's like gas like going everywhere. It's like, Selena, what are you doing?
And that's so funny. I remember it was a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Ford Explorer. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good car. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to ask her what happened to that.
And your first car was the red.
The 2009 red Toyota Prius. I just got rid of her last year. 14 years.
I believe that you had a car for 14 years. Wow.
The Stones hold on to their cars. We hold on to them till the bitter end. So yeah, we buy cool. them and we hold on to them until they fall apart. So yeah, 14 years. Every time I see one now, it breaks my heart. Because
did you get your driver's license like at 16?
During the writer's strike. During the first writer's strike, went.
But how old were you?
15.
Okay.
So I got my permit when I was 15. I went back to Texas during the writer's strike and not the last one, but the one before that.
Right.
And then at 16, yeah, I got my license.
Because a lot of kids nowadays don't even want to get a driver's license. Which is like crazy. I had to really convince my oldest daughter was ready. She's like, driver's license. And when we got back to the house, she was backing up. I was like, where are you going? And she's like, I don't know. I'm driving.
Yeah.
And then
it's
my
freedom.
Youngest did not want to get a driver's license. Well, I mean, there's.
Because we also didn't have like Uber and stuff back then.
We didn't have Uber. Uber had started already when Dylan was doing, could be driving, but you didn't want like a kid, a 16-year-old kid
also,
to go in Uber.
When Uber
but I was
first
the Uber.
Out, it was weird.
I was driving her everywhere.
Well, dad was the first Uber, dad and mom. But yeah.
But why? I'm going to ask the audience. Yeah. Why do younger kids not want a driver's license? Because my take is you can communicate with your friends or through Facebook, through Instagram, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to leave your room to be social now.
Yeah.
Where my age,
you had to leave
to go be with her. So why doesn't anybody want to drive? Question mark.
You may have just answered your own question, but I'm interested to see what everybody says.
Yeah, I'm curious. Please tell me.
But okay, so later, once we've driven into the Sloppy Joe,
right.
Dean and Alex are officially together because they've professed each other's love before Sloppy Joe moments. And then Jess and Alex are talking on the terrace. Alex decides to come out and stare at the stars, but realizes it's really boring and she's not into that. Justin says he's disappointed Dean likes Alex as he wanted to get her to get a boyfriend he could intimidate if he got out of line, but Dean has ripped his sleeve off his winter coat so he can't intimidate him because that's a big scary thing apparently. And Alex says, well, if he gets out of line, I'll smack him with the sleeves from the coat, basically. Alex sprays Justin with water to make him look sweaty like he just came from cross-country practice. So Justin gets her back by using the transport stick to knock her out.
Which is really funny.
So that's our tag. So my question for you
is, here it comes, Jen Stone.
Here comes the question. So this whole episode, we're using this silly toilet paper mind reading stick, right? So if you could use Max's mind reading stick, who would you use it on? Who would you use it on?
My first thought was my kids to see what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Or how about the entire younger generation?
That's fair.
I don't understand going on, you know? And then my other thought was casting directors. What are they thinking, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked to Ruth, our casting director, and we got some good information. So I don't have to read her mind, but maybe a different casting director or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting notion of using it for people because, like, as an actor, it's such a different job. I mean, I guess every job, it depends on like people's perception of you, but especially acting, because not only do you have to be right for the part, but you have to be somebody that people want to have on set and have fun with. And so it's this interesting thing which like I said, that could be for most jobs, but I just feel like it's more so as an actor that you
How
have to not
you?
Only Who- fit a role, but also fit a narrative and a experience.
Right. I mean, and then also just on that topic, I think making a choice is really important. You know what I mean?
So
who would you want to read? It's a tough question.
It is a tough question. I would say, I know. I would say, I think cast directors is a good one, but at the same time, I've gotten to the point now where I just love what I do and I don't like need the validation from being an actor anymore, but it's just, why?
I just thought of what it is. My mom had Alzheimer's.
Oh,
and toward the end, the last 3 years, like, every once in a while, she'd pop out for like a sentence or something.
Yeah.
But if I could have read her mind, even though you know, I still was able to like rub her back and every once in a while she'd smile and stuff. But
that's a good one.
That's what I would have done.
That's the best answer.
Yeah.
That's the best answer.
Do I win a prize?
Yeah. You win a toilet paper tube with macaroni on it. But no, that's Alzheimer's is such a tough disease. It really is.
And may I?
Yeah.
Don't say the word remember. If your, you know, parent or your grandparent has Alzheimer's, or dementia, just be in the moment with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little example. We had a Glenn Toronto was a family friend and just an amazing man. And he helped take care of my mom later in life. And shout out to Glenn Toronto. My mom, you know, like right around the kind of not knowing if they're with it or not, you know, mom was at the actor's home and asked where her mom was. Mm. And we were like, oh, you know, I didn't say this to her, but what was told to her was, oh, your mom is not with us anymore. Especially, and my mom for 3 days in a row experienced hearing the news anew of her mom being dead.
Yeah.
And then Glenn came up with the best thing because, you know, when you have Alzheimer's, you forget, right?
Yeah.
So he wrote out a note and said, Carol, we've gone on, you know, a little vacation. We'll be back soon and stay with Glenn. And he just would say that and she'd be like, oh, okay, no problem.
Yeah, so you know? She doesn't have to like relive that trauma.
But isn't that wonderful? The kind of, she was in that. And before my mom had Alzheimer's, there was someone that I met whose mom had that. And their thing was that they would always get their nails done together, you know? And then she forgot who he was. So what he did was he would come there and he was the nail guy. So he just would do his mom's nails.
Yeah.
And she didn't know who he was and would talk though about her son who was so wonderful to him.
Yeah.
You know, so just being in the moment with someone who has dementia is a wonderful thing.
Well, meeting them where they're at.
Yes.
You know, because there's been a lot of times where like I've had patients at the hospital. We deal with Alzheimer's and dementia patients all the time. And you never want to like disrupt their routine and the familiarity.
Right.
Right. Because familiarity is something that's so hard to grasp, especially it's in later stages. Routine is imperative. So and when they come to the ER, their routine is completely shattered, right? Like they're in a totally different environment. They don't know who anybody is. Like they're in like it's very uncomfortable and distressing for them. And it's amazing to me too, how sometimes sometimes we revert back, like in really later stages, you revert back from like ashes, dust to dust, where it's like you start as a kid and like, especially with Alzheimer's, you kind of go back to that.
Yeah.
And so it's just that taking a moment to be still. And I think when you're really kinetic, like a lot of times we get so busy in our lives that we just go, go, go. And for somebody who has to hold on to that stillness because that's where their calm and their contentment is, because they're not sure what's going on around them, to just taking a moment and just being with them and being like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. Like, and just like being still.
Because
I can't imagine how chaotic that must be.
It just is. It's very important to be in the moment in life.
In life.
Especially when you're with someone who has dementia. You know?
Yeah. It's a tough condition. I'm so sorry. My family's been hit with that before too. And I'm sorry that your mom had to go
through that. I think one in four. Like there's so many.
It's really common.
And we're working. There are certain medications and there are some breakthroughs that are
It slows it helping. Down,
yeah.
But it doesn't stop it.
Right.
You
know?
Well, there's no,
on that note.
There's no transition out of that. But there was some like fun little Easter eggs in this episode. So as we talked about, this was the first time Captain Jim Bob Sherwood was mentioned. There's also, if you look really, really closely, when Alex is in the pit, like in like the pit stop area, there's something advertising Volcano Land.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you look
that.
Really closely, it says Volcano Land, which if you don't know, is from the like saving WizTech, but the Wizard School,
the
part
Wizard
one
School
and two.
Episodes, yeah.
And then there's also a T-shirt of Volcano Land,
amazing,
which is so fun. And then the poncho of invisibility that Max has. We talked about how like there's overlap with Harry Potter. That's like the Arc Cloak of invisibility,
right.
But of course, being the very low rent Brooklyn version,
which
you know?
By the way, there is a new cloak. There's an actual invisible cloak. Yeah, you can look on it. They hold it up and it mirrors everything that's behind it.
Oh, because it has all the little cameras, right?
I don't know if it has cameras. I don't know. I don't understand it. But there is a literal cloak of invisibility now.
There was something that I saw, and it's kind of like they used it sort of like loosely in The Invisible Man, that remake they just did.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth Moss.
Yes, I love The Invisible Man.
Yeah, it was a good like reimagining.
It was a good bite on it, yeah, exactly.
It was a good reimagining of that like classic horror movie. But that was how they did it, was they did it with a lot of like the invisibility suit or what have you, was because there were cameras all over it that reflected back the image. So I think it probably
has something to do with it.
I read something about it being there. I'll have to look into that. That's
I mean,
cool.
I know there's a lot of stuff out there, but I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they had demonstrated it on stage and stuff. Yeah. Look it up, everybody. Tell us about the invisibility cloak,
and
the real one.
On that note, we're going to take our invisibility cloak and we're out of here.
Here, look. And I'm going to do this. Have a magical day, everybody.
Bye, guys. See you next week.